want to call to order a regular meeting for the Grover Beach City Council for Monday, May 2nd, 2016. Would you all please stand and rise with us for a moment of silence for the brave men and women who sacrifice every day for our civil liberties and freedoms? Thank you. Please remain standing for our flag salute. We enjoy having our youth come and lead us in the pledge. So tonight we're going to be led by Aranza Sanchez. She is 11 years old and a fifth grade student at Grover Beach Elementary School. She likes learning new things at school and playing with her friends every day. She enjoys living on the Central Coast because of the beach, being close, and that there are a lot of places to go shopping. Aranza would like to go to college and become a veterinarian. She would also like to be a professional dancer. Wow, that's great. Her hobbies are reading, especially comic books. Nice. Playing soccer, studying, and dancing. She's accompanied this evening, I believe, by her parents and by her teacher, Ms. Kathy Sanford. So, whenever you're ready.
Please put your right hand over your heart.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Aranza. I want to give you something for coming down and leading us in the pledge. This is such a typical thank you very much. So we're going to take a picture with this young lady here. So. Yeah, and we'll get a group shot. And this is some sort of school. So I'm going to shake everyone's hand, then we'll take another picture. Okay?
Okay. Thank you so much. Yeah, we have to make this space for
you. Sorry, I'm a little wobbly.
Thanks for being here. Yes, thank you so much.
So we'll take it. Why don't you stand in front of me?
You'll be in the middle.
Perfect. And look at her, and then we'll take a group photo. You get Councilmember Bright?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Donna, roll call.
Here.
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 Here. Thank you, Donna. City Attorney, can you cover our closed session announcements?
Certainly. Honorable Mayor, Council members, Council met in two closed sessions, one on April 18th, 2016, on labor negotiations with unrepresented employee groups, and there were no reportable actions taken in that closed session. The second one was on April 26th, and the item on the closed session was public employment. The position was the city manager, and as well, there were no reportable actions taken after the closed session.
Thank you, sir. All right, let's move on to our agenda review. Do any members of the council want to change the order of the agenda as presented by staff? Okay, seeing no one, someone want to make a motion on this item?
I'll make a motion that we proceed as published.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. If there's no additional discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. So we are going to proceed with the agenda as published. I believe there's some extra copies on the table in the back of the room. So let's move on to our ceremonial calendar this evening. This is item number one. This is a proclamation declaring the week of May 15th through the 21st, 2016, as National Public Works Week. Mayor Pro Tem Lee.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to proclaim this proclamation of the City Council of the City of Grover Beach declaring May 15th to the 21st as National Public Works Week. So whereas public works services provided in our community are an integral part of our citizens' everyday lives. Whereas the support and understanding of informed citizenry is vital to the efficient operation of public works systems and programs such as water, sewers, streets, public buildings, and solid waste collection. Whereas the health, safety, and comfort of this community greatly depends on these facilities and services. Whereas the quality and effectiveness of these facilities, as well as their planning, design, and construction, is vitally dependent upon the efforts and skills of our public works officials. Whereas the efficiency of the qualified and dedicated personnel who staff public works departments is materially influenced by the people's attitudes and understanding of the importance of the work they perform. And whereas in 1962, President John F. Kennedy designated the first National Public Works Week to pay tribute to our public works employees for their substantial contributions to our national health and welfare. So therefore, the American Public Works Association's 2016 National Public Works Week's theme is Public Works, Always There. And it showcases how communities depend on public works and the men and women of the profession that are always there and always ready. So therefore, be it resolved that the Grover Beach City Council proclaims the week of May 15th to the 21st as National Public Works Week and calls upon all citizens and civic organizations to acquaint themselves with the issues involved in providing our public works services and to recognize the contributions which public works officials make every day to our health, safety, comfort, and quality of life.
Very good. And do we have someone here to accept? Oh, Mr. Ray. I think Kathy wants to take a picture. Okay, let's move on to item number two. This is a proclamation declaring the week of May 15th through the 21st, 2016, as National Police Week. Council Member Nichols.
I'm very happy to read this award to our brave men in blue. Whereas the Congress and President of the United States have designated May 15 as Peace Officers Memorial Day and the week in which it falls as Police Week, and whereas, from the beginning of this nation, law enforcement officers have played an important role in safeguarding the rights and freedoms which are guaranteed by the Constitution and in protecting the lives and property of our citizens. And whereas, on average, one law enforcement officer is killed in the line of duty somewhere in the United States every 61 hours, and over 20,000 U.S. law enforcement officers have made the ultimate sacrifice. And whereas in 2015, 123 law enforcement officers were killed in the line of duty nationwide, with four of those officers being from the state of California. And whereas it is important that all citizens know and understand the problems, duties, and responsibilities of their police department, and that members of our police department recognize their duty to serve the people by safeguarding life and property, by protecting the people against violence or disorder, and by protecting the innocent against deception and the vulnerable against oppression or intimidation. And whereas the Grover Beach Police Department has grown to be a modern and scientific law enforcement agency, and its members play an essential role in safeguarding the rights and freedoms of the citizens of Grover Beach, now therefore be it resolved that the City Council of the City of Grover Beach hereby proclaims the week of May 15 to 21, 2016, as National Police Week in honor of the men and women who, through their courageous deeds, have lost their lives or have become disabled in the line of duty.
Very good, and I believe Chief Peters is accepting this proclamation. So we're going to move on to presentations. This is item number three. This is a presentation on Bike Month by San Luis Obispo County Rideshare.
Good evening, Mayor Scholes, council members, and Grover Beach. My name is Peter. I'm the employer outreach coordinator at SLOCOG. SLOCOG is our regional transportation planning agency, and our rideshare division has outreach programs for our county's commuters, educators, students, parents, seniors, persons with disabilities, visitors, pretty much everyone. And our mission is to reduce the amount of single-occupant vehicle drivers on our region's roadways, making them more efficient. So on to the fun stuff. Who here is familiar with Bike Month? Oh, yeah. A couple people. All right. For those familiar, we have community-led events that happen pretty much every single day in May. Starting today, I was at a bike breakfast. And as usual, they're throughout the county. That doesn't change this year. That's still all happening. Whether you want to learn more about bike safety, ride to an event you usually drive to, bike with the mayor, enjoy some free bike breakfast, May has something for you. So check out rideshare.org for a complete calendar of those events. And this year, much like Rideshare Month consolidating to Rideshare Week, we're applying the majority of our focus on Bike to Work Day and Bike to School Days. So if you're a parent, educator, or student, may the fourth be with you. And that's my nerdy way of helping you remember to bike this Wednesday, May 4th. I invite you with your kids and students, of course, to pack the rack. We have 23 schools participating throughout the county. The school with the most bikes parked on May 4th will win a peak bike rack to hold even more bikes next year. And if you haven't already found a reason to get on your bike, make sure you pedal with me on May 20th. The League of American Bicyclists has proclaimed May 20th, 2016 as National Bike to Work Day. So it's Public Works Week, and we're honoring our police force, and then you have Bike to Work Day. So lots going on. Make sure you get involved. We're pulling out all the stops to help you get involved, and if maybe you just want to bike part of the way, I can set you up with a free bike locker. If you don't own a bike, Wally's has you covered with a free bike rental. If you're not confident about biking, or maybe it's just more fun to commute with others, join a Bike to Work Day train by visiting meetup.com/Bike to Work Day. It's the first time we've used Meetup. It's a social media site that allows you to connect with others at events. So that's pretty exciting. If you need a reason, how about some free breakfast burritos, a Bike Month t-shirt, bike lights, everything in this awesome bag that you'll pick up.
It's going to be awesome. It's a nice bag.
You get a chance to win a bike in there as well. So we have breakfast stations located throughout the county. Here in Grover Beach, we have partnered with the City Parks and Rec Department as well as Trinity Cyclery to bring you, of course, the best bike breakfast at Trinity Cyclery. It's the best one in South County, I guess I should clarify. We really appreciate the city support, and, of course, Kathy Pecker is our favorite city official for making this happen, so thank you so much. And if you're heading north, you can check out all the other stations at rideshare.org. And I'm still not done giving you reasons to hop on two wheels on May 20th. We're teaming up with Bike Slow County to bring you the official Bike to Work Day wrap-up party.
Fashion show?
Yeah, from 6:30 to 9:30. And come enjoy some bike fashion. Yes, it's true. Take your picture in the Let's Get Visible photo booth. Turn in your chance to win a bike. Buy some food and beverages to support Bike Slow County. Who wants to win a free bike? Everybody here wants to win a free bike. Don't tell me you don't want a free bike. Well, we have three opportunities for you to win a bike in May. You already know how to win the Linus. Simply bike to Trinity Cyclery, get your free breakfast burrito, of course, and bring that ticket to the wrap-up party for a chance. For a chance to win the JAMA Sport here, you log your smart commute choices throughout May at iRideshare.org, and that includes those of us who might consider carpooling, vanpooling, walking, or taking the bus to work instead. We'll select a winner for that on June 13th after our trip login cutoff date. Those that don't know, iRideShare.org is our region software that allows you to find ride matches to work, rest assured with our guaranteed ride home program, enter commuter sweepstakes, track your commute impact, share rides to events, and so much more all year round. If you're into the ExtraCycle cargo bike, you can enter for a chance to win every single day by posting a picture of your commute with hashtag LetsGetVisible, and I'll select a winner for that on June 1st. No bike month is complete without bike month challenges, and as usual, we're doing a mono challenge for those of you who like to bike a lot of miles. If you want a more manageable way to engage, I'd encourage you to enjoy the employer versus employer challenge. We break this down on based on employer size to give everyone a fighting chance. City of Arroyo Grande and the City of Atascadero are up for the challenge, so is the City of Grover Beach going to take that trophy this year? You decide. Thank you for helping us visualize a region with more people driving bikes and less people sitting in traffic. And I've left some cards in the back as well as some Slow Life magazines with some more details on Bike to Work Day, Bike to School Day, and you can reach out about any of our other programs. Additional thanks to the council for letting me speak this evening. Any questions?
Well, thank you, Peter. And you should have said female. Yeah. Female to female, not just the guys. Get the ladies involved in this. Thank you, Peter. Any questions? No?
I had one question. Could you give everyone the time of the event at Trinity Cycle on Wednesday?
Yes, absolutely. It will be from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. If your commute's outside of that time period, they'll probably be flexible and hook you up either way, so maybe let us know.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I believe we're going to be doing a bike to school from City Hall on Wednesday, correct?
You're leading the charge.
I gotta get my tires. Get some air in my tires. Great, thank you, Peter. All right, let's move on to item number four. This is a presentation on the Home Share program.
He's got a bike
helmet. Greetings, council members. Is this on? Does this work?
We can hear you.
Okay, that's good. I'm Ann Wyatt. I'm program coordinator for Home Share Pro, Home Share Slow. And knowing I was following Peter today for Bike Month, I rode here today in honor of Bike Month and the fact that I love to ride. So I'm a housing and housing policy planner and the coordinator of this new program. We have started Home Share Slow as of the month of March. And so it's a new San Luis Obispo nonprofit under fiscal sponsor Ecologistics. And I'm pleased to be here with you today and to let you know that Councilmember Nichols is one of our advisory board members. And so I just thought I'd place the setting a bit for the program and then just a quick nuts and bolts. And I understand we have about 8 to 10 minutes for the presentation. Is that correct? Okay,
yes.
And I'd also like to thank Ms. McMahon for helping me get this slides into you and get us set for today. And this looks like it's probably going to shoot our slides
there
forward.
We go.
Okay, good. That's what I'm hoping. So just a quick demographic setting for the program, and then we'll get into some quick nuts and bolts on it. So what we're seeing is changing demographics around the country. So certainly here in the county and Grover Beach, we're seeing a lot of seniors and a lot of seniors living alone. Almost 440 Grover Beach seniors living alone, more than 10,000 countywide. So we're also seeing another increase that may or may not be related to seniors, but we're seeing an increase in non-family households. So we're seeing a lot more people living together that aren't part of a family. So that can be single persons or that can be unrelated persons living together. So over a third of the Grover Beach population is non-family households. The majority of these are probably single person households, but could be a number of non-family members sharing up. I didn't break that statistic down. Actually, would be interesting to know. Nationally, just kind of interesting, 7% of the households around the country are women over 65 living alone. So as you can see, it's a significant portion of the households in the country. In Grover Beach, that statistic's just a little lower at 6% of the households. So with that kind of demographic setting in mind, we're looking at home share to help us solve a variety of challenges being faced by all communities in the county and the nation at large. We have an affordable housing challenge, which you're all very familiar with. Along the secondary line, we have some hopes to help kind of increase quality of life and help with social and community sort of connection objectives. We're seeing with the increased number of single households, you know, we're seeing some isolation and issues with seniors and single person households. So we're hoping to build on this sort of social aspect and changing needs of households. Thirdly, a sustainability and efficiency. Home share is a mechanism to make use of existing housing, and that's kind of a line of thinking that I've been looking at in research over the last years, various ways we can better use existing housing. As you all well know, our opportunities for building new are limited and very expensive, so that mandates really dictates that we do a lot better with what we've got. And finally, self-determination and aging in place, certainly related to the increased number of seniors. And flexibility. Home share is something that can be started now. We have started. We're in the process. It's a flexible, relatively inexpensive process and on a month-to-month basis. So it's very flexible. And that's what especially millennials, some of our sort of younger populations, are looking for flexibility, actually. It can be a negative but a positive for some. So groups home share may serve really could be everyone. The typical home share service group are elderly women and single person households. So certainly those households we're seeing more of. Other possible niche groups could include veterans or addiction recoveries, single parents, developmentally challenged, emancipated youth. The list could go on and on and on. We're hoping we can start some innovative programs with some of these niche groups as time goes on, but we'll probably be looking to start the program with our sort of typical cohort, elderly women, single-person households, to match up. Along those lines, I've had some questions about homeless issues, certainly something you're facing here in Grover Beach. And we're not looking to help kind of match homeless in the immediate startup process of our program. We're looking at home share as a way to kind of open up housing units and as homeless prevention. So I'm hoping we can talk more a bit about that later. So nuts and bolts, quick few terms. Home share isn't rocket science. Basically, home share programs connect providers, people with a room, who could be homeowners or could be renters. Could work that a renter has a two-bedroom apartment and is looking for a roommate, so that renter would be a provider. And providers get matched up with seekers. So seekers, just the term we use for the person looking for a room. So the program is matching the two at a basic level. I kind of liken the program humorously to sort of a dating service. You know, it's kind of a match. Who am I? What am I looking for? Kind of thing. So there's some art and some science to it. But at a basic level, the program provides security for both participants with background checking, felony checks, references, and some other levels of background screening to make sure people are who they say they are and a fairly decent chance of a good fit. And also helps then with this screening and making matching assistance, for example, help with leases and household rules and agreements that are easy for some people but challenging for others, especially seniors. And so that can be a big help up front. Other operations of a program would include training and education. So many programs offer sort of hand-holding along the way. Issues come up. I think we probably all had issues with people we live with, family or non-family. So there's some sort of dispute resolution and helping mediate and work through issues as they come up. It's not kind of if, but when. They come up along the line. So that's tied in with follow-up monitoring. Another kind of nuts and bolts, bolts benefit of programs is exit planning. Most shares last between, depending on the program that I've surveyed, amongst the 60 programs operating nationwide, they tend to find matches last between a year and a half and 3 years. So there's some variance there, but they're probably not lifetime matches. So you are going to see some exit planning as a requirement. And finally, advocacy. What we see often when we talk about home sharing is people focus on the risks and the costs. Oh, what if all these bad things could happen? What about the extra car? Blah, blah, blah. But what if we don't do this and we leave all the people on the streets and we limit our housing opportunities for people and we let people be isolated and alone? So that's kind of part of the advocacy, kind of flipping from the what if we do do this and things go wrong to what if we don't and just leave things alone. So a couple of questions come my way. As I've been talking here in the county to people about this program over the last 2 years, and this is my favorite. I could never share my kitchen. So from a provider level, if you're used to having your house to yourself and you're not used to sharing your kitchen, a lot of people think they couldn't home share because they don't want to share a kitchen. And I just think it's kind of an interesting statistic that few know that estimates run between 7 and 15% of Americans that don't cook at all. And it becomes kind of an interesting discussion what you consider cooking. So we won't get into that. We don't have time. But if we're sitting at the bar one day, maybe that could work. But, you know, what happens is as many as 1 in 7 Americans don't cook at all. And I like to survey rooms and see who's who, but we don't have time for that either. And what we find is for a lot of people, just a basic kitchenette, a mini fridge, and a micro can do most everything they do. Maybe a tea kettle or a coffee maker. And those things can be purchased for under $200 and placed virtually anywhere. So it's an important one when we're thinking about the model. A lot of people think old school, the roommates are going to share everything and be best friends. That can be nice, but it doesn't have to be a requirement. A lot of people just want a convenient space to themselves. So those sort of old college day notions aren't necessarily what we need to be looking at in modern day home share. The modern day can have a little more private spaces built in. And so we have several ways of measuring success. So I'd like to just point it out as we start up here and we think about our objectives. And so the simple version of what we're trying to do is we're trying to make a number of matches in a given year. So that's kind of the easy sort of quantitative number that looks good. But what we're also doing in the process is we're creating housing units. So if we can get people to rent out rooms who weren't before or who hadn't thought about it, we're effectively creating new housing units. So that's a more important kind of number to look at than just some number of matches. Finally, two other kind of numbers. If we can serve existing matches and help keep them working, we're also serving an important objective, and whether or not we initially made those matches. And finally, the more kind of bolded, sort of fuzzy, sort of qualitative parameter is how well the matches serve the needs of the providers and the seekers. If we can make best friends or we can save a life because we had a share situation where someone was there to help someone in need, or people become best friends, those are sort of life-changing successes and a little different than just numbers. Making it happen, if we looked at 10% of seniors living alone in the county, that would be 1,000 people. And if we could do 100 shares a year, we'd be busy just with those for 10 years. And so there's lots to do. And that's the slide presentation. And I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Amy. Any questions? Councilor Shaw?
I had not as much a question, but a comment. One thing I thought was interesting that you brought up is that, you know, you wouldn't be necessarily addressing the homeless, but I had a meeting last week with Jana Nichols of the Five Cities Homeless Coalition, and she mentioned actually the population that she's really seeing grow are seniors. You know, I love that these houses in Grover Beach are getting redone, but as your house and as your apartment gets redone, all of a sudden your rent kicks up by $1,000. And she's been unfortunately inundated with people like that. And I think your program would reach out to so many people in that terrible situation.
Thanks. I mean, that's the case. So many people are on the edge, but not actually homeless, but kind of on borderline edge. So having options for those people where we have so few is the help we're hoping to provide. At a base level, as I said, we're hoping we can get some innovative kind of trainings later on. But yeah, there's a growing population along with that changing demographics and increasing rents here.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem Lee?
Had one question.
You're good.
Okay, and thank you for that presentation. Going back to your goals and measurements of success slide, there was a bullet point called, or a flower point, I'll call it, a number of housing units created. And I'm curious as to how, if you're matching up people, and if so, let's say two elderly women share a house, but both of them had a house. So does the service take over that house and rent it on that other lady's behalf type of situation? Or how does that work? I mean, or do you find different situations? Am I overthinking this?
Yeah, well, anything could happen. That house could get sold, put on the market, and sold to another person or family who needs it. It could get rented to another family. Some of the 60 home share countries, home share programs around the country actually do operate home share living centers where they would kind of have a house or building and have a master lease or ownership and then rent out the rooms. Hmm. And so that's something we're certainly open to doing. It's not an immediate kind of objective of the program, but I have talked to a number of people with suitable houses where we could get several rooms and have a master lease then and operate shared living houses or centers. So any of those would be options.
Okay. That sounds great. And then one last question is, I see an email address for you. Is there a website that people can go search for that, or is the best way to contact you directly?
Oh, thank you for asking. I didn't highlight that. Our organization is new, and these slides were actually made before we formed it, but I appreciate your asking. HomeShareSlow.org. Again, HomeShareSlow.org. Right now it's just a shell site, but it has contact information there and basic program information.
Very good.
Thank you.
Councilmember Nichols, you have anything?
Commentary. I'm especially interested in this because in my small neighborhood, we have 10 seniors living in 10 houses. Several have medical issues that need daycare nurses. Some have medical issues that would require 24-hour care, but they can't afford it. And if we could match up these people, it would be so easy for them financially to have 24-hour care and rent out whichever home is not being occupied, or sell the home and divvy it up, however what would work out. But I'm really interested in seeing this get moving. A number of the people that I know who are elderly and living alone, I see them losing their conversational ability because they are so isolated. I see them unable to keep up with what's going on in a general conversation. I see them kind of withering away into themselves, and I would really like to see them back their social best.
Well, thank you. And just along those lines, it is it just came up in a conversation this week that some of the home care organizations, at least one who I talked to a representative from, has a discounted rate for the kind of two people receiving care. And it does end up then being a lot less expensive. Certainly if you have an hourly rate and the caregiver can do things for two people within that hourly rate, it may be a little higher, but then still break down to a lot less than the one person rate. Mm-hmm. So that's something that just came up as an angle to kind of look at as efficiencies and reduce costs there. And I just wanted to note something I skipped in the slides. Our new organization will be focusing for this first year as a pilot on the North Coast, basically from Los Osos to San Simeon. Some of our funders are there and pool of interest, but we would like to expand countywide, and so our name HomeShareSlow is in anticipation of countywide operations, but that will require some funding, so I just want to put in a plug. I'm not sure how your budget cycle goes, but I'll be learning more. So far we have preliminary commitments or interest from the city of Morro Bay and the county, and we'll be looking for commitments both from the county at a higher level and from all of the cities within the county. So I hope to just put that in your minds as you're thinking about your budgets ahead. It'll cost a little bit to make these matches.
Okay. Well, I can cross off what is your ask of the city.
If you could just give me $50,000 today, that'd be...
Well, I guess I... Thank you for sharing that. So you refer to this as sort of a dating service, so you're sort of like the Match.com. So it's a voluntary participation, correct?
That is correct. We would not expect to enlist it.
Well, I think that discussion, budget and all that, is obviously another discussion for another day. So I think it's just really, so today you're just sharing information, making everyone aware. So I was going to ask you a question about security checks, but that's getting way too much into the weeds. So let's just accept the report today. Thank you. It's been a lot of great information. And then as you go forward, I would say the council would be open to you, you coming back and updating us, or staff giving us updates regularly.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Good luck with your
again.
Program.
Yeah. Thanks.
Very good.
Thank you.
Okay, let's move on to public communications. This is an opportunity for any member to address the council for a period of time of 3 minutes. I could give you more. We'll see how many people want to talk today. On any item of interest in this jurisdiction, please make sure your comments on items that are not on the agenda, because when those items come up, I will give you sufficient time to respond to an agenda item. Is there anyone? Well, let me see. I have two speaker request forms for public communications tonight. I believe the first one is Sharon Brown.
Thank you, Sharon Brown, Grover Beach. I think it's providential, for me anyway, that part of our agenda tonight was an award to our Public Works Department, and they certainly deserve it. They are understaffed and under-budgeted. And that leads me into my problem. I live in Golden West, and in the center of our development, there are 160 domiciles in this development, the senior community, in the center of which is Golden West Park. And that was built when the houses were built in 1977. Needless to say, some changes have taken place over the years. But the problem right now is a very uneven pavement within the park. Last year, we were assured that that was going to be repaired, and we have patiently waited. And through the neighborhood grapevine, I have learned that two people have fallen in the park. I have also noticed that the use of the park by seniors is dwindling. Now, I know I have talked to parks, and apparently the bid came in to repair, and it was in excess of what had been budgeted. So everybody puts on their thinking caps. And I've talked to people in the neighborhood, and we are willing to seek an alternative solution rather than redo and redesign the whole pavement in the park. There are only certain areas that are in need of repair. So perhaps we could just deal with those areas, but in cement, not in blacktop. That's what the neighborhood says.
Thank you, Sharon. John Weisong.
John A. Weisong, 1660 Brighton Avenue. Constructive criticism never hurt anybody. It's a damn truth that hurts. And I finally got relief from no water Thanksgiving. Your insurance company finally came through thanks to your city manager over here. He's somebody that can do something and works for the people, not just a few. And I'm going to take and put a plaque out there so someday somebody can look at it and say, this house, this old couple didn't have water Thanksgiving. 5 months it took for you and your council and to do nothing. I think that's pitiful. I think it's sorrowful. I think it's incompetent, irresponsible, and inconsiderate for people to let handicap, old age, that's been here last week, a year ago, years ago, come here and not have water. That is pitiful. I mean, I can see that in a foreign country someplace, but not in Grover Beach. I was listening to the TV the other night doing my taxes, and this young lady came on. She's on the council, Karen Bright, and she talked about some trucks going down the street. Well, the day before she said that, there was 36 trucks, cement, all due to the pipeline on Oak Park. But 2 days later, your city manager got him going up North 16th, where I got a ticket going 10 miles an hour trying to hold on to a cup of coffee and drive, and they were just poking along there. Andrew Seaspan said some words in that meeting, I think it was. I'd give her an A+. You know, I'm not like John Boehner, the Speaker of the House. He come right out in public and called so-and-so, so-and-so. I do it out in the pasture field so nobody hears me but the man up there. But I'm getting to the point that it's going to be difficult for me. I can't drive to Dayton, Ohio anymore because I'm too damn old. But I sold cattle way up there by Gilroy last week, and I drove up there. That's a 300-mile round trip. And it's horrible to see these illegal, I don't know if they're illegal, but they're aliens. Bumper to bumper, there's 150,000 in Salinas, and the roads are terrible, just like they are here. And we got a governor, and we got these people that get big bucks. They get benefits and retirement and all that stuff, and they do nothing. I wish Merrill Williams was here, because I'll tell you what he'd do. He'd start with her and some more and give them a paycheck and tell them, there's the door, go find a better job. But this one guy, this Calcio, he bothers me, and I'm coming out in public tonight. He cost me $1,000 years ago, him and Linthal, because he let a doctor come in without a permit, took my fence out. My cattle had gone down Highway 1 and killed a lot of people. But I had this man on the county council, he's now a judge, got my money back through the same outfit that your insurance that I got my money from. Small world. But John Boehner said a lot. And boy, it's true, and so did Andrew Seaspan. You know, constructive criticism never hurt anybody. It's a damn truth that hurts. And I paid a lot of taxes this time for an old man. And it's poor. I'm not like the rest of the rich people. But I don't like to pay, I don't mind paying, but I want people to do their jobs. And I want you to say something. I want you to sit there like you and your husband and not say nothing.
Okay, John. That's enough. Thank you. I don't have any other speaker request forms. Is there anyone else that would like to speak during public communication? Seeing none, let me close it and bring it back to the council. City manager, perhaps, I don't know if you can do it tonight, but maybe on a future agenda, can you give us an update on Golden West Park? I think Ms. Brown had brought that up.
I would be happy to do that right now, sir.
Oh, that would be great. Thank you.
So from what I understand, I wasn't here most of the year, but from what I understand, there was not enough funding identified after the estimates for the entire park of Golden West Park came in. And so staff has been looking at other alternatives, and we have, in fact, as it stands today, still we have rebudgeted some funds for FY17 for that specific park to get that project done. So depending on how the budget process goes as that comes up, we have allocated monies in that budget to get that project done.
So that will be in the draft budget that will come to the council for consideration?
That's correct.
That is correct. Okay. So very good. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. Okay. Let's move on to our public hearings tonight. This is item number 5. This is consideration of a one-year time extension for development permit for the Grover Beach Lodge and Conference Center. And I believe, Mr. Buckingham, were you giving the staff report?
Good evening, Mayor, members of the Council. In April 2014, the Council approved the coastal development permit for the Grover Beach Lodge and Conference Center project. Subsequent to that, two appeals were filed with the California Coastal Commission. 2 months later, in June of 2014, the Coastal Commission held a meeting and determined that the appeals raised no substantial issue. The Coastal Commission action ended the discretionary review of the project, and the final approval date stands as June 11, 2014. The coastal development permit was approved for 2 years and therefore will expire on June 11th of 2016. The developer for the project, Pacifica Companies, has requested a one-year time extension. The lodge project consists of approximately 13 acres, 8 acres for the lodge development itself, and about 5 additional acres for state park improvements. In general, the project consists of 3 hotel buildings of 110,000 square feet, and the 4th building is a standalone conference center at about 11,000 square feet. The project is located at the end of West Grand Avenue within Pismo State Beach. The time extension requests allow the council to determine if there have been changes in the conditions or circumstances of the site or development. Staff has reviewed the project and believes there have been no changes that would require revisions to the project at this time. Therefore, staff is recommending the council conduct a public hearing, adopt the resolution approving a one-year time extension for a development permit 10-03.
Thank you, Mr. Buckingham. Any questions of staff? Councilmember Shaw?
As I was reading through this, I think I saw somewhere that we can only do this 3 times. Is that right?
Correct. You can grant up to 3 one-year time extensions. So this is the first of 3.
Okay. Thank you.
Any questions to my right? Okay. So let me open this up to the public. I have 2 speaker request forms. The first is from Ron Arnoldson.
Good evening. Ron Arnoldson, 754 Newport. I'm kind of glad this is getting set back a year. I've been here for quite a few years. I know that this project's been on the someone's been looking at this as a dream or as an idea for 30-some-plus years. The reason it hasn't moved forward is because it's not financially feasible. You guys also know that because you are trying to gamble with $6 million of taxpayers' money to put in infrastructure and move bathrooms and dump stations to benefit the people that are going to try and build this facility. I wish you'd gamble on $6 million worth of street repairs. I think that would do a lot more towards taxes than what this is going to do. When you repair the streets, the homes have a better curb appeal. They increase in property value, and every time they sell, you get more money in your coffers because that's where your number one dollar is in tax, is in property tax, as you all know. We've got the best beach in the state of California. We don't have any commercial, any residential blight down there. We can drive down there. We have a total free access to the beach. Name another city that has that. What's the value to that? You can't put a value on it. We've got a great visual view of the beach from almost any place on the hill above, you know, any place that's above the beach, you can see the ocean. Now we're talking about blighting our beach just like every other community with a bunch of commercial pieces of property. I really don't think they're going to bring that much money back to our coffers. I really question that because it's going to take you, what's the staff report, 7, 8, 9, 10 years to recoup the $6 million that we're putting into the project. I'm glad to see it's being set off. I think that maybe we need to take a second look at that project.
Thank you, Mr. Arnoldson. One Star Holiday?
Okay. Good evening, Mayor Shells, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Star Holiday. I'm not a resident of Grover Beach. I live in Arroyo Grande up on the Mesa near the refinery. I have been a member of the South County Advisory Council for almost on and off for more than 20 years and just resigned as Land Use Committee Chairman. And in that position, I did an awful lot of investigation over these past years into the Phillips 66 project, which is going to come right down through your town on the past the Grand Avenue. And I have been at the meeting, several meetings, of the Planning Commission where it is presently being processed. No decision has been made as yet. And heard almost 400 people speak against this project in support of the Planning Department, which also proposed rejection of this project. I don't remember anybody from Grover Beach, but there were people from Davis, California, all the way down to Goleta, fire marshals, city council members, mayors, congressmen, other people who are interested in this dreadful project. And I'm not speaking for the advisory council now. I'm speaking for me, and I'm speaking for you. Because when I was walking and saw the notice of this meeting tonight, I asked myself, do the developers know that they are in the blast zone of an accident by this project? And I think it is an obligation for you to tell them, if you have not already, in writing. Because if you don't, I can see after an accident a massive suit against the city of Grover Beach for denying them of an opportunity to respond. If they decide to take the risk, that's their problem. But I think you need to advise them legally that this project is dangerous. 1 mile long trains, 5 days a week, carrying 80 tanker cars with volatile fuel in it, drawn by 3 diesel locomotives that are going to be spewing particulate matter into the air, and a utility car on tracks that cannot sustain the weight of these tankers, and in tankers that are not safe. They will have to be replaced in 2024. They don't have the venting valves. They don't have the hull depth to protect the public. They'll be traveling in with oil, and they'll be traveling out with vapor-laden tankers. So I really think you need to look at this. I've read every page of all of the environmental impact reports, and I'm telling you, it makes me extremely nervous. It certainly should you, because it's coming through your town. And if you want to see what it could do to a town, look up Megantic Canada, which was practically destroyed by a derailing of these kinds of tanker cars. So it's time for me to stop, and I hope it's not rude for me to leave, but I have to try to get home before it gets really dark. I'm an old lady, and I don't want you to be unsafe on the road because I'm there. So thank you very much. I really enjoyed this meeting. I think I'll come more often.
Thank you for your comments. Okay, I don't have any other speaker request forms, but is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak on this item? Ms. Brown.
Yes, I'm assuming that no one is here representing the developer.
Staff?
Pacifica?
That is correct.
Okay. I'm wondering then who can ask the answer the question.
Well, why don't you?
Why they are asking for this extension. Is it financing? So that's number one. Number two, I want to know how I'm looking at attachment 2, first paragraph. Pacifica Companies is proposing the development of 150-room lodge with a conference center and restaurant. Now, the last I remembered, they are not going to be building the conference center, but that if we want the conference center, the city has to build it. Is that correct?
Thank you, Sharon. Is there anyone else? Okay, seeing no one come forward, let me close and bring it back to the council. So, staff, do you want to clearly state why this extension is needed, or
in order to vest the coastal development permit, you actually have to be under construction. Pacifica has explained that they are in the midst of developing their plans, but they did not start until they had additional time to refine their plans. They've illustrated that they've had a lot of background work to do. So they are at a point now where they are moving forward, and they've requested the one-year extension.
So basically, this is not a unusual request because, well, let me just say, this extension is not because of a financial issue directly. The reason I say that is there is a reason why this project has been delayed. One is the recession that hit. Project somewhat got put on hold. The second thing is that it's a very complex process to go through approvals through the Planning Commission, the City Council, and the Coastal Commission. This project was approved, is entitled by the Coastal Commission, and because there are so many folks involved from the state to the city to Pacifica and others, it is a very complex process to get building permits, but Pacific is making those efforts to get this done. This is not an unusual process. This happens in most cities and most counties in which folks who are developing a project often run into time constraints.
Staff would just add, it's not unusual for a large project or of any significance to take more than 2 years in order to get everything that they need to do in order to get going with hiring their own consultants and providing a plan to the city.
Okay. Does any other council members have any comments or questions?
I would maybe like to discuss more Ms. Brown's question, too, just because I know we haven't set who exactly is going to build the conference center, and does this lock us in some way?
The project as entitled stands. It's the council's decision as to what, if any, contribution would go to any portion of the project.
Okay, thank you.
Martin, you have some city.
No, that was exactly what I was going to say. So, yeah.
And clearly, the what's the consequence of the council choosing not to grant this 1 year time extension?
The project would then expire, and the project would have to start over in the entitlement process.
Okay, very good. Anyone else?
Just that I'm in support of the recommendation to move forward with this, and realizing Mr. Arnoldson's comments about the street improvements. We have a K-14 bond program that is doing exactly what he's suggesting, which is a benefit to the city, as well as, in my opinion, I believe this development at the end of Grand Avenue will be a benefit to the city as well. So with that, I'm ready to make a motion.
Okay, and then I'll just add that we also are using monies from the 2016 sales tax measure, as well as gas tax and monies that come through SLOCOG to fix these streets, because the bond money was not for arterials like Grand Avenue, 4th, and Oak Park. Oak Park is under construction, and it's a $2 million project. So we are fixing streets. So anyway, please, if you'd like to make a motion, you have the floor.
Okay. Again, I will go ahead and make the motion. We've conducted the public hearing and received testimony, and I'll recommend that we adopt the resolution approving a 1 year time extension for development permit 10-03.
I'll second that.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Is there any additional discussion on the motion? Roll call, please.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Donna. Motion carries. Let's move on to our consent agenda tonight. There are several items on consent, so let's see if any members of the council want to pull any items from consent.
I don't want to pull. I just have a question.
Okay. You have the floor.
Oh, okay. So that would be on item... item number 10.
Actually, before you ask your question, I was actually going to request that we pull that for a presentation.
Oh, all right then.
I was too.
Well, there you have it.
There we have it. Any other questions you have on any other items?
Nope, not for me.
Miriam, you have anything?
Nope,
Barbara?
I'm good.
Nope. Okay, so Mayor Pro Tem.
I had a question on number 9.
Okay.
So, which is with regards to the EOC monitor and the equipment, with just my always present question.
So, I had a comment on that. So.
Oh, okay. Cool.
You have your question and.
Cool. And my question centers around a schedule. So realizing that we have a couple of other approvals that we've done over the course of the months, one of which I know Ms. Brown is always asking us about the parking lot lighting, and I know that's gone out to bid. So I just want to find out what your schedule on this particular improvement would be.
So tentatively, the schedule is once council, if this is approved, staff will work with the funding and getting specific finalization on the funding through the Diablo Canyon power plant. Once that funding is there, it's just a matter of assigning it to AGP to assist getting it in. We should get it in within a month, and we'll be coordinating that with the Chief Peters and myself. We'll be coordinating to make sure it gets done as necessary.
Okay. So, and if I read correctly, it's basically going to replace the projector with a large monitor and a laptop or other computer equipment to serve as the monitor.
That's correct. So hopefully we won't have the issue we had earlier tonight. I thought that was appropriate. But the monitor basically will be pretty much the exact same size that you see up there now, but will be digital format and much easier to be seen with the lights on. Won't fade out as we have now.
Okay. We'll similar to the other screens that are in the room?
Larger, though.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Okay. That was my
question. Okay. So we are... Item 10 is being pulled, and I believe that is the only item. So is there some – I don't have any speaker request forms from members of the community that I want to speak on consent agenda items. So seeing no one come forward, let me bring it back to the council. Someone want to make a motion on the consent agenda without item 10.
Okay. You go ahead.
I'll make a motion. We accept the consent agenda as written, except for item 10, which has been pulled.
I second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. If there's no additional discussion on the motion, Mayor Pro Tem.
I think Councilmember Wright had a comment, though.
No, I'm good.
You're good?
Okay.
Okay. Very good. No discussion on the motion? Okay, roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And when we typically pull items from consent, we put them toward the back of the agenda, so we will move this item to after item 12. Okay? So, actually, what I'd like to do is the chair's prerogative. Chief, I see the chief moving, but we have a guest who's visiting, and so what I'd like to do is let's take item 12 before item 11. And this is the consideration of funding assistance for San Luis Obispo County YMCA for a market study. I think Ms. Petker must have anticipated I was going to do this. Nicely done.
Actually, I was going to help the chief with his presentation.
Take the credit.
Mayor and City Council members. We're presenting a proposal to you this evening. The YMCA has received a proposal from the research company Foursquare for $35,000 to conduct a market study in this county for the San Luis YMCA. This study is anticipated to provide insights regarding the overall demand, location analysis, programming, memberships, partnerships, social impacts, and more for YMCA services in our county, including South County. You have attached the proposal study from the company Foursquare, and it's a list all the items that they would present and analyze. Monica Grant is here this evening, and she is available to answer any questions regarding the research company and what they'll be working on, and specifically to Grover Beach. They're proposing to evaluate information from stakeholders, including health seekers, families, and recreation enthusiasts, to determine what programs and services they are looking for in a club. And this data will all revolve around the core values of YMCA services. And specifically in the South County, they'll be working with staff and the community to find out what questions to ask Grover Beach residents and the things that interest them for opportunities in the South County for YMCA services. And also, they will be reviewing potential off-site locations such as the Exploration Station to offer the YMCA programs on satellite or express areas. So the YMCA is requesting that the city assist with funding and contribute $2,500 to the study to help offset the $35,000 cost. And at this time, staff is not recommending funding assistance because the item has not been allocated in this budget. However, the second alternative is that you approve the AAR and allocate funding for $2,500 to participate, and the resolution is attached for your review if you would like to move forward with alternative number two. And that is all I have for this time, and be happy to answer any questions. And again, Ms. Monica Grant is in the audience to answer any questions if needed.
Very good. Thank you, Kathy. Any questions of staff? Mayor Pro Tem Lee?
Sure. Just a couple questions, and I'm not sure if it's appropriate for Ms. Petker or Ms. Grant, but I noticed in the proposal it's a it's not a local firm. And so is there a reason why I'll call it an external firm was used rather than focusing on the community? I'm sure there's other groups locally that can do this and would be more focused on the county in general.
So why don't you let me get all the questions from the council. That way we can have you come up at one time.
Okay, great.
Go ahead, Jeff.
And then my second and final question is, you'd referenced there would be potential for programming partnership with E-Station. And is there a barrier to doing that now? Would be my second question.
In terms of city services partnering or YMCA?
Or just YMCA.
Yeah. I'll have to let Monica answer that as well.
Okay. So you're tracking these questions, Monica? Councilmember Wright.
Yes, please. Has there been, in the past, has there been an interest raised in our community about having more Y-related services here in this area?
You know, the bigger picture, I'll go ahead and let Monica explain the big picture, but she will also tell you this as well. There are already YMCA services in our South County in the after-school programs, and they are doing very successfully. So I believe that this study would help them prove and show that more services could be available, and I will go ahead and let her expand on that. So.
Okay. I had a kind of a similar question going along with that because I noticed in the proposal, page one at the bottom, it says asking how prospective members perceive the current locations and talking about new express facilities, possibly and specifically in Grover Beach and in Paso. So our city as well as Paso are being considered not only for more programs but even an additional facility, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all.
That's it? All right. Barbara, do you have anything? Or
good? No.
Okay, very good. I don't have any questions either. Let me open this up to the public. So Monica Grant from the Y is here. I think we've got maybe three questions for you, but I didn't know if you had a presentation that you
sure.
wanted to make.
Thank you, Mayor Schultz, and distinguished members of the City Council. Thank you for having me here this evening. I'm Monica Grant. I'm the CEO of the YMCA and a resident of Arroyo Grande. I just did want to frame a little bit of additional context, and then I will answer your specific questions. This study is an offshoot of our strategic planning process at the YMCA. While I deal with day-to-day operations, a big part of my job is obviously looking at the future ability for the Y to be relevant and impact communities, especially here in Grover Beach. We currently only have one health and fitness facility that serves about 1,600 people in San Luis Obispo. Last year, as a part of our strategic planning process, we did a gap analysis. It was not a full-blown out needs assessment. That's quite an undertaking that we did not have the capacity, but we did a gap analysis that we felt gave us a snapshot indicating that there's definitely a gap in services for healthy living and physical activities for families in North and South County. That was just a very broad indication that there's a need for accessible, affordable activities. So with that, I felt that a discussion came up about should we be remodeling our current SLO facility, which is an antiquated old racquetball club, and with the purpose being how can we better serve the community and also grow membership. For economic reasons, and I think, again, making a good strategic decision, I felt that it was important to look at the county as a whole before I committed to any path around anything. I think that's just doing due diligence. So we did entertain proposals from a couple of firms. One was a local firm and did give the opportunity. This is a company, Foursquare, that has a bit of a niche. They work with many YMCAs in California, including the Channel Islands YMCA, which is the Santa Barbara Association. They have worked with San Diego, many YMCAs around the country. And they get it. They really understand what types of questions need to be asked. And I have seen some of their completed studies and have talked to many CEOs that work with them, so they were very pleased. And so the board actually, our board entertained both proposals, and because of the size of the board did select that, that was not my ultimate decision. So for me, so I answered that one question. I think that what I want to just say is the study, while we have to, in order to have a good study, we have to give them sort of an area to a pinpointed point on the map that has some relevancy, and there's been some. I can't just say, well, somewhere in Grover Beach. You know, I have to give them a location. What I want to be clear about is that I am not making any indication of the wise future, whatever, around the exploration station. This was a good location that we felt was in the area to study. And it will give us a probably, I would imagine, a 3 to 5 mile radius scope, right? So that, but you have to give a pinpoint. So I just want to qualify that. We're not looking to take over anything. We're really just looking to get information. I do want to say that, so as far as interest raised, I think that my sense is there's a gap in services, but I have to study that better. What I want to also make a pitch for is that if you've done any studies like this, you know that $35,000 is very affordable for a countywide anything. It's crazy. It's amazingly inexpensive. And I think it's because she has worked with many wives and she gets where we're at. I do want to say that an extra plus for the city of Grover Beach is that you would be able to add a couple of questions that are not necessarily just about this topic. For example, she gave an example. If a city was looking at floating a bond or whatever, we could insert a question. It's an opportunity to test that. Now, what I will say is that the sample size is based on census. So how many people from Grover Beach will be asked, I can't tell you that exactly. There'll be more people that will be studying slower, but just based on the census. But the goal is that as they present these options for locations, possible locations, and drill down. If somebody expresses interest in Grover Beach, that's when the drill down really goes. And so I think it's going to be very informative. I think it'll be very informative, not just for the Y, but for the city of Grover Beach. If we would ever embark upon such a project, it would absolutely have to be done in a pretty serious partnership with the city. So I think this is a great first step. It's, again, I think, while I understand and appreciate the commitment of $2,500 for a city, for anyone, I think it is incredibly affordable and will provide such very good data. I hope I answered your questions.
I think you did.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that in the community that would like to speak to the item in front of the council? Ms. Brown.
Oh, dear.
Uh-oh.
Please excuse my cell phone. I didn't know that it was on. It will quit in a minute. But in the meantime, I will go on. I didn't think I would be speaking on this item tonight. And I certainly am in support of the Y and its programs for adults and kids. However, in view of the fact that I'm going to have to wait until the new budget for the improvements to Golden West Park, where a safety issue exists, I really object to money being spent now that is not even part of the budget, whereas Golden West was.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Okay. Let me close it to the public and bring it back to the council. So let's have some discussion. Miriam, you want
to? I'll start. So, you know, the reason we, I think, started thinking about this idea is I think Jeff and I were maybe on the same wavelength. I was really hoping the Y could come here and start some programs at the Exploration Station, and whatever this survey says, whatever we do, I hope they would still think about that. And that doesn't need any survey results. We would welcome it as, on any sort of trial basis. I think $2,500 is a lot of money, but if it gives us a true chance of being the one city that's seriously being considered for a satellite, it may be worth the gamble. I don't know how many of you people here have had the benefit of being down Houston Street at like 4 or 5 o'clock near the dance, gymnastics, karate zone, but it's insane. And those places, I have the benefit of making payments to many of those places, and most of them are completely unaffordable to most families in Grover Beach, especially if you have more than one child. So clearly there are people around, and I know lots of people who come from Arroyo Grande and even farther to use that area. So I think there's a need, and I understand the Y is a business, so they can't just go on our word, and it may be a chance for us to get something really, really great, even though it's a lot of money.
Okay. Anyone else? Mayor Pro Tem Lee?
Sure. I agree that the money hasn't been allocated yet, and perhaps this could be another one of those discussion points as part of the budget. So with regards to the funding that we give to organizations or consider giving to organizations, I would anticipate, and Ms. Grant can tell me if I'm wrong, that if we waited 3 months to fund this, I'm assuming the program would still be going on, and you would probably still accept that. We might miss out on the opportunity for a Grover Beach specific question in that vein, but I think I'd be more comfortable having that discussion as part of the budget. And then realizing the East Station is a great opportunity, we all also have a Cleaver Park that's kind of not moving forward, for lack of a better term, due to funding issues and grant funding and so forth. So this, and as a long-range vision, this might be an opportunity to partner with either, I think at one point it was the Boys or Girls Club, Boys and Girls Club, or possibly the Y as well, with regards to something of that nature. So that's more of a long-term comment that I've got. But and I'm supportive of staff's recommendation and delaying the funding until the budget discussion.
So maybe we can have Ms. Grant come up and talk about the timing of the study.
Thank you. We have let the Forest Square know that we have accepted the proposal, and we are moving. We need to move forward for their sake and for ours. So the study would start, the process planning would start in June, and I would imagine the next 3 months after that it would move forward. So we are definitely in needing to move forward.
Okay.
My only comment would be around, while I would be happy to take your funding at any time, I think that in fairness and in honesty, that opportunity to be engaged in shaping the study would be lost. And that would be sort of the understanding that this partnership would facilitate the ability to engage the city in that partnership level. Otherwise, we will just go with Foursquare's recommendations. I think the data will still be relevant, but as far as you inserting specific questions that you need to fulfill other purposes, that would probably be not feasible.
Okay, thank you. So here's my thoughts. You know, we have all these plans and these ideas that are out there. It's whether we have a land use element, a circulation element, or a park and recs element, and we had I think, a report on all those elements a few meetings back, and those become stale, and we have to update them. And here we have an opportunity with the community partner to contribute actually a small portion of a study you're doing and insert some very specific questions to Grover Beach to find out, do we have the right programs? Do we have the right people running those programs? What are the opportunities? Are there new opportunities for programs that we aren't even aware of? Or are we going to stick to a status quo? I'm compassionate. I understand Ms. Brown's point, and I'm looking forward to the Golden West Park coming back to us, because I know that there was a commitment made. But I think when we talk about $2,500 to be part of a study that costs $35,000 and be able to ask questions specific to Grover Beach and the programs, not just in our community, but in five cities, because, you know, East Station, and Ronica said, they're not looking to take over anything, but I think we are looking to provide the right programs for the right people at the right time. And I think we have an opportunity here now. The fact that they're going to start in June means that perhaps we can make a commitment tonight, and we can have that discussion and have it solidified in the budget, because we're really still in the budget time frame. And I just, you know, I think what I'm encouraging, and, you know, obviously I'm just one opinion, so I just wanted to let you all know my thought process, what I'm just, you know, and in full disclosure, I think Councilmember Shaw and I had met with Ms. Grant. I know that the intent was to try and figure out if the Y could do programs at the East Station in partnership with the city and the East Station. And she said, here's a unique opportunity. Is the city interested in it? So, I feel like perhaps we should make a commitment and then go through whatever process we need to, because I know there wasn't many years ago we were given $5,000 to savor the sunset, or savor sunset, whatever that program is. Here's an opportunity to program something in the heart of our city, in the center of five cities. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. So let's see where others are, or if someone wants to make a motion one way or the other. So,
okay.
Karen?
Yes. You know, I agree. I just like the idea that we kind of think more globally. I think that as far as $2,500 really is a small investment for what we may return, and $2,500 is not going to fix, unfortunately, is not going to fix the park, and that is going to take. That's going to take our next budget year to do that. There's no doubt about it. And so I would like to make a motion that that we would commit $2,500 to contributing to that study. I think it'll have to be in the next budget year, though.
Okay.
That's my motion.
I second.
There's a motion and a second. Is there any other discussion?
Just a logistical question. So so with that motion, we would effectively be pre-funding, or would this be enough of a commitment for the Y to say, okay, we know that we've now directed staff to put this $2,500 into the budget. So would you accept the funding, the commitment now with the payment after July 1st, or do we pay it now and earmark it for next fiscal year?
Okay. I can see he's ready to jump on the mic. He's turning. City manager.
Logistically, if the council wishes to approve the funding, it would probably be best that, for timing purposes, I think for the Y, to get them the money before or as the survey. But again, that's council's prerogative. If they want to commit the $2,500 for next year's budget, we don't need to approve that resolution now. It's just a commitment, and we would do that in the budget process.
Ms. Grant, is that enough of a commitment for you to move forward?
We would consider it a pledge. I would just hope that pledge was secure, because we're obviously making decisions based on that. So as long as, for us, our fiscal year is calendar year, so I can accept that, knowing that it's coming and we can make some arrangements.
Okay. I think we're good with the motion as stated. Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Motion carries.
Could I ask a question?
Yes.
Will we get to see the questions before they go out or at some point?
I think yes. The answer is yes. We will be probably inviting this through via Kathy. We'll figure out how to. We will be having a couple of planning meetings, and partners will be invited in that planning process meeting. So I'll be in communication, I guess, with Kathy around that, and we'll go from there.
All right, great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Very good.
Excellent. Appreciate your support.
Thank you, Monica.
Excellent.
Okay, let's move on to item number 12. I'm sorry, no, item number 11. This is 2015 annual report from the Grove Beach Police Department. Chief Peters, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. Tonight we bring in front of you the 2015 annual report. It's my pleasure to present this annual report to you in the community. I know you've been provided a copy of the annual report previously, and there is a copy online on the city's website for anybody to review and follow along. So as my staff report is prepared, it's basically a condensed and version of the annual report, and we'll go over that if I can get this device to work. There we are. Okay, in 2015, the Grove Beach Police Department experienced a transition in its leadership with the retirement of Chief Copsey, who served the department very well for the period of 10 years, and then my ultimate promotion to the Chief of Police position. We also, in that time period, experienced a lot of personnel changes and promotions, new hires, retirements, and so forth. So we've had a lot of movement within the department. In addition to that, the council was graciously supportive of us and provided the unfreezing of positions and allowing us to fill those positions. So what that brings us to today is our authorized strength of sworn positions, being the chief, the two commanders, sergeants, four sergeants and senior officers, two police officers and two detectives. And an update to the bottom line, currently where it says two vacant officer positions, as of this morning that is three. So unfortunately one of our trainees resigned from this position. So we will be continuing the process to fill three positions. On the non-sworn side of things, we do have six dispatchers, a dispatch supervisor, the records clerk, the confidential administrative assistant, which is basically the assistant to myself and the commanders, as well as one current vacant dispatcher position. However, we do have an application process underway, a background process. So we have candidates identified. They're going through the rest of the testing process. Hopefully that position will be filled as quickly as possible here within the next 30 to 45 days. In addition to the sworn and paid staff, we do have the volunteer program. This is the South County Police Volunteer Program. It's under the umbrella of that, and it's our Grove Beach Volunteers. We currently have 10 volunteers, and I'm happy to say that we have five new people that are in the works right now to bring on board to increase this to 15. And we do have a Citizens Academy that will be coming up in the fall in partnership with our agencies in Pismo Beach and Arroyo Grande. So we are moving forward with recruitment of the volunteer program, and it's being successful under the leadership of Sergeant Rabina, one of our new members of the department. So as the department goes, this year we had a lot of valuable input with the community, and we connected with them on multiple levels. The input consisted of several community meetings and the integration of the Coffee with a Cop program. I know a couple of you have been out there and have seen or heard about it. It's a great program. We get out to meet all the residents in certain areas. We stagger the times and the days, try to get it broken up to see how many people we can get. And we host it at a local establishment, and a lot of good conversation comes out of it. It allows us to actually get that one-on-one knowledge of what's going on in the particular areas of the community and to address those needs of those individuals in those neighborhoods. In addition to that, we also had our social media platform that has been widely successful. We have over 3,200 members of the community that follow us on our Facebook and Twitter pages, and those are able to send out community alerts and updates pretty quickly to the public, and for a variety of things, whether they be cases or wanted individuals or hit and runs and closed roadways and stuff like that. So that information that's been sent out is well received by the public and gets a lot of comments back and forth. In addition, with the support of the council, again, we started the foot patrol program for West Grand Avenue corridor, and that foot patrols in 2015, we had 1,800 business checks completed just on Grand Avenue alone. Over 200 hours of additional service was dedicated to Grand Avenue from the foot patrols and the bike patrol. There was over 366 calls for service in relation to activities involving businesses within Grand Avenue, and the officers made 19 arrests from minor things such as warrants all the way up to weapons violations. The bicycle program was in part funded by grant funds and a community donation, and we bought two new bicycles for the officers, and several of them have been trained on it, and they're out and about, and we are planning on having one on Wednesday morning, helping to lead the procession of kids to school. So hopefully you'll be able to see that out there if you want to come and ride with the kids. Since then, just a little highlight, giving you an idea of what 2016 has been doing. There's been about 500 additional business checks just so far this year. But this brought us into an area of the department that we kind of expanded on this year, which was getting more involved with Lucy Marr School District in not only training our personnel, but offering training to their personnel. We coordinated one of the largest active shooter programs, training programs in this county, and it participated. The participating agencies were Grover Beach, Royal Granny, and Pismo Beach Police Departments, as well as the State Parks Rangers. We also had the fire departments, Five Cities Fire and Cal Fire, Slow Ambulance, American Red Cross, and Lucy Amara themselves had staff members. Since our hosting of that, The Pismo Beach Police Department has hosted one in one of their schools as well, and again, it was met with great success, and it's a good program that is being done annually in each community in the five cities. In addition to the training programs, we also had officers go out for Red Ribbon Week and to each of the schools and introduce themselves to the kids and help teach about drug awareness and safety. We also taught stranger danger courses and gun safety awareness to the different schools, as well as sending the officers in the classrooms to do Reading Across America, which the kids are getting a good involvement with the officers, and the officers are getting some awesome time down in there in the classroom. So, in reference to the Grover Beach Communication Center, another busy year for our dispatch center. It was over 23,600 calls for service were received. The dispatchers were busy dispatching over 20,400 calls just for police-related services. So the remainder of the calls for service were for fire-related services. And the highest amount of 911 calls we ever received in our dispatch center, 5,143. So with that, the dispatchers are able to input the information very quickly, and for police-related responses, when you call the police department, the average response time was 2 minutes and 54 seconds. So I guess it's a benefit to having a small community. We can get there a lot faster, and the officers are showing that. In addition, you can probably see through the photograph that the monitors that are on the back wall of the dispatch center, those are our community camera program monitors that are displayed in the dispatch center that help with investigation of crimes and detection and prevention of criminal activity on Grand Avenue. Other community impacts that we had was we had over 2,000 cases, which was a 5% increase from 2014. We made almost 900 arrests, another 5.4% increase from the year before. Property crimes, unfortunately, are up. This is a statewide trend. If you look at all of the state statistics that are going on, some violent crime is staying pretty steady. In some areas, in some of the bigger cities, it went violent crime went up. But property crime is up statewide across the board. Our petty theft is up 20%. Our auto theft is up 71% to 36 cars. Now, that's 21 cars to 36 cars. So it 71% sounds like a large number, but it's less than the cars that we would anticipate with that big of a number. And that could be in relation to Santa Maria had started a great auto theft task force and really attacked the offenders down there, and were able to prevent a lot of thefts, and I think we saw some branching out of that. We're not the only city in this area that experienced an increase in auto theft as well. And our narcotics cases were up overall 20%. Obviously, the felony cases were down because of Prop 47. It diminished the felony narcotics charges to misdemeanors, but our misdemeanor cases were up quite a bit. So as we look towards this year, 2016, we kind of looked at and said, well, what do we want to do internally? What are some of the goals in addition to the council goals that have been set? What do we want to bring? We'd like to fill obviously all the department vacancies. More personnel on the street obviously gives us more opportunities to serve the public better. Increase the West Grand Avenue foot patrols. That's obviously been a topic of the council and the desire of the council, as it is ours as well. Increase traffic enforcement. With the more personnel, we're going to be able to have the additional traffic enforcement out there paying particular attention to the areas that have the crash data that we're compiling right now from last year to find out where our problem locations are. Increase special enforcement team investigations. Additional personnel will obviously, once those are filled, those additional personnel will be able to take up those special investigations in the neighborhoods, that the ones that we're learning about through Coffee with the Cop, we can dedicate the personnel to those special events and pay attention to those and get those resolved for the neighborhoods. And then we want to work in partnership with our school district as much as we did last year and try to expand as best as we can with their funding and our funding will allow. That being said, the men and women of the Grover Beach Police Department have performed great service this last year, 2015. They went through a lot of transition and a lot of change. Even though it was internal, it was still a lot for them. But they hit the ground running, and I'm proud of the men and women that we have serving our community. So I will take any questions.
Okay. Thank you, Chief. Barbara, you want to start? Do you have any questions?
I don't have a question, but I do have a comment. I would really encourage anybody that has free Saturdays for 8 weeks to take the citizen course. I took it 2 years ago, I think it was now, and I learned so much more about what it is like to be on the lines, how much a citizen can be aware of and report to the police, how much more understanding of the whole process. I would really, really recommend it.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem?
I'd be happy to recommend that as well. I have not gone through it, but
get you an application.
Hey, there you go. So, thank you for the report, and thank you for what the sworn and the non-sworn staff do for the citizens and the community at large. So, just two kind of general questions. One is Councilmember Shaw's reference to Huston just a little while ago reminded me that I have been getting quite a bit of phone calls and emails and so forth with people who are having trouble parking down there. And I know the signs in the area is zoned as no parking. So is there a opportunity to, or do you already have patrols going through there and encouraging people to not park there, either through tickets or some other encouragement, shall we say?
Yes, we have been paying particular attention down in that area because with it being a very small street, you cannot get a fire department vehicle through there once you start parking on the sides. So The officers are paying some particular attention to the fire zone and have issued some citations, and there was actually a couple of abandoned vehicles we've towed out of there in the last couple of weeks. So.
Thank you. So then the my next question, actually in your report itself, and thank you for the report, is there's on the SET, or the Special Enforcement Team page, I apologize, I don't, it's not numbered, but it looks like the meth cases have gone down significantly from 14 and 15. Is that just the trend in the area, or did we do something to encourage that reduction?
That's more or less the trend in the area. We're seeing okay. more heroin than meth nowadays. Okay. Still see, you know, a good amount of meth, but the heroin is now the leading drug of choice.
Okay.
That's all. Hey.
Okay. Councilmember Bryant.
Yes. Regarding the vacancy that you're talking about, you said that we had a recent vacancy.
This morning, yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
so it's a police officer, not the trainee, the two trainees that...
One of them resigned, yes.
So that are in that are at the academy?
No, no, they were on the street in their training program on the street. They had already completed the academy.
Oh,
and
okay.
were on the field training program, and one of them resigned from that program.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilor Shaw.
One thing, it was a wonderful report, by the way. One thing that I was a little concerned about was the fact that the special enforcement team just wasn't able to participate as much. Is there anything that, you know, we can aim to do as a city or as a council to make sure that, that the special enforcement team can get more engaged? Is it just filling these vacancies?
That's what it boils down to. It's just having the staffing on... It's filled by an overtime assignment, so if we only have two officers on the street, we obviously can't take anybody from the street because they have to do the bare minimum on the street. So it is mainly a staffing issue and being able to fill those on overtime.
Okay. And I just had written down, especially with the 3,200 followers on social media, awesome. I think that's great. I follow you guys, and, I mean, we were all out looking for that turtle. Like the day of the second it came out. So I just think it's awesome because so many cities have been shy about connecting with people, and for a police department to be reaching out, I think that's great, and it just humanizes everyone and makes people, I think, more comfortable to reach out than with issues. One thing I might suggest, if you are reaching out to the schools next year or in the coming year, one thing we talked about at our school this year that we just never got around to doing was everyone really wanted an internet safety presentation for the kids, and we thought, oh well, it's for the older kids, but I realize even my first grader is on YouTube, and it's for everybody at this point. And I just saw in your report a picture from the Tip a Cop dinner, and I was wondering, when is that coming?
That is coming up this month, in fact. It will be, I believe it's the 26th of May. It's Thursday, the 26th of May. We have a 5:30 seating and a 7 o'clock seating. Tickets are available through the police department, and we are selling the tables for the Tip-A-Cop. That obviously it supports the Special Olympics. So all the money raised goes to the Special Olympics and support our athletes that compete in those Olympics.
And where will this be held?
The dinner will be at the South County Regional Center in Rio Grande.
Thank you.
Okay. So, Chief, nice report. Thank you for presenting that information. It's valuable for the council as well as the community that's here and watching. So I do have about five questions for you. I would agree that installing these cameras have been obviously a good thing, giving us a wide view on what's going on in the Grand Avenue corridor. But I just want to know, when you make a statement that says the cameras have been instrumental in preventing criminal activity, how do we quantify that?
Well, what we've been able to see is the dispatchers can actually see verbal altercations starting, and immediately they send an officer over there before it turns into a physical fight or a vandalism or something like that. So dispatchers are seeing the I guess, the preeminent of a crime occurring or about to occur, and the officers are getting dispatched to the scene before it even takes place. So we're able to quell those disturbances and those crimes ahead of time. And then at the same token, they also, when they do see them in progress, they're able to provide the officers with the direction of travel of the offender, and the officers are able to go after them that way.
Okay. How fine with those cameras are you, when you zoom in, I mean, are you able to get physical features and enough the details to apprehend someone that may have committed a crime?
Yeah, it all depends on the angle of the camera, mm-hmm. but if it's a right on, right in front of the intersection, yes, you can zoom in, and we have the ability to take a still photo of it and blow up that still photo and straighten out the pixels so we can get license plates from that way.
Excellent, excellent. So let's talk traffic. I saw you had one of your goals was to increase traffic enforcement. I read in the staff in your report, and I had to read it a few times. So I'm hoping I misread this. So in 2015, there were about 100 or less than 100 tickets written in the community.
That would be not correct.
So what's the number? Do you know?
I don't have the full report in front of me, so I would have to look at the full report.
So I may not have the specific number down, but it certainly looked like there was a low number of citations issued.
It was lower than 2014. I believe it was about 40% lower than 2014.
And the reason I'm... You have it? What page you got?
It's the traffic enforcement statistics page.
Okay.
And the citations, total citations written were 1,328.
Okay.
That includes hazardous, non-hazardous, and parking violations.
So, but that doesn't include moving. What's the number for moving violations?
The moving violations are, let's see, 678 for the hazardous moving violations, and the non-movers, 678 for the hazardous ones.
What's hazardous?
Run stop signs, speeding, stoplight violations.
Okay. And the reason I'm really asking this question is that I wasn't sure if it's been a focus or a target. We get a lot of calls from folks regarding people who are speeding, people who may be rolling through stop signs. We get a lot of questions about, hey, can you just lower a speed limit from 35 to 25? So I'm just trying to kind of get at, you know, what are some tools we can do to help slow folks down in the community. So maybe you can just talk to me in the community about what the role the traffic committee plays, and then, you know, what are some of the things we really are going to be doing to try and, not that I want you out there just writing tickets on people, but I think we need to figure out a way to change behavior, clearly. So.
Yes, for the traffic committee, it is a committee made up of myself. There's the fire chief, the public works director, community development director, and assistant oversight person that receives information from the public. And our latest meeting, we discussed South 16th Street and Farrell mm-hmm. up to Grand Avenue. So the traffic committee, what we're able to do is look at the concerns that the community brings forward, whether it be for red zones or different curbing or stop signs they would like in their neighborhoods, and we review those requests, and then a determination is made of whether or not they're a request that's viable, if something that can be done, and if so, then the report's completed and forwarded to the council for your consideration, as staff has its input in the report. And so that's what the traffic committee does. Traffic enforcement by the officers, it's a matter of the time in between calls for service, being able to do proactive patrols, whether it be watching a particular intersection that may have a multitude of stop sign violations. That is our leading cause of violations in the city last year was stop signs. So the officers are pinpointing where we can determine where most of those violations are occurring. And some of those come in off citizens' complaints where they see violations occurring. So we encourage the community to give us a call if they see a lot of violations occurring in their neighborhood. We can always put an officer out there in between calls to watch the stop sign and take enforcement action. Speed's the same thing. Right now, we don't have a motorcycle unit. Obviously, with the retirement of the motorcycle officer many years back, a motorcycle in our size community would be advantageous to making quick turns and actually addressing speeders. Cars are just hard to turn around on Grand Avenue, yeah. And it's not very safe to do so in some respects. So speeding, when we get them while we're sitting somewhere doing stationary radar, and they go by the police car too fast because they obviously didn't see the police car, so we were able to pull them over for the violations there.
Got it. Yeah, because I was looking, maybe I when I talked about 100, I looked at the bottom of the page when you talk about the 6 most cited vehicle code violations in 2015, and speed, there was 100.
Yes.
So that breaks down to be less than 10 a month. So that is a concern. So maybe talk a little bit about how do we establish speed limits, and if we don't have the resources to enforce this, then what are some other measures we might, we should probably have a conversation about that, what that means down the road. But you want to talk about how we establish speed limits for folks?
Sure. Usually there's a speed survey that's completed, and the speed survey gives us a number within the 85th percentile of what the speed should be established for that roadway. The speed can be set by council, such as Oak Park, but if it's not within the speed survey, the judge that we had assigned would not enforce the violations that were written for the speeding violations on there because they went off of the speed survey. So each road that gets repaired will have to be, if it's changed in a width or in curbing is added or something different changes the road surface, then surveys are going to have to be redone. And our surveys are coming up in the next year and a half, 2 years anyway, so we're going to have to redo our surveys to help us with the speeding enforcement. But once the surveys are established and the speed limit is established for the area, we can post the sign and start the enforcement action. And obviously we'd like to do it through some education as well and making sure that the motoring public knows it's important to drive safe and respect the speed of everybody in the community, but at the same token, enforcement action can occur.
So I get people who say to me all the time, well, why can't you just put up the radar with the speed limit with the camera and take a flash and send them a ticket? How do you respond to that?
Well, speed cameras are not legal in California, so we can't do that. We do use our radar trailer and put it in known locations or locations that are having complaints from the community, and we're able to actually take a sample of the speed as long as it's out there. We can take that and bring it back to the office and get an average speed of what the radar trailer saw. We've done that several times on Grand Avenue in the past, and we've been able to determine that on Grand Avenue the average speed was right around 30 miles an hour that everybody was traveling.
Mm-hmm.
So very few violations of the speeding on Grand Avenue in the past. We are currently doing a study right now on South 16th Street with that device, so we'll see what the results are of that because that's a residential zone for 25. So,
yeah, I drive by it daily. So I think it's, didn't want to get too far into the weeds here because this is your report, but I do think we want to have that conversation as it comes to resources because, as I understand, when you do a survey, it's really for the radar. And if you don't have enough officers sitting there with the radar to tell whether someone is speeding or not, then, we got to figure out, is there a better way to do this? What are the consequences of saying, hey, we're going to lower the speed limit in downtown with the hope that 70% will respect it, and the other 15 or 20 will continue to, Jesus.
He's very passionate about that.
Need to get hydrated. There you go. So basically, that's a conversation we should talk about because I think hopefully traffic and media recommendations will come to the council sometime soon, correct?
Yes.
So let me ask you about the, and I think it's great. I know earlier the council approved some monitors and some other equipment for the Emergency Operations Center. And so what I wanted to ask is, I know that we've talked about in the past for emergency preparedness and planning. Geez, here it comes again. Getting the council involved in some of that training. So I didn't know if that's a conversation you had with the Chief Lieberman or others.
Yes, myself and Chief Lieberman have discussed that, where we can put together a workshop for council in reference to emergency management, the roles and responsibilities of the council members during such times. So we were in the process of doing that. You've had quite a busy agendas the last couple months, so we didn't want to interfere with that. We do have, this year we will be participating in the NPP drills that will be going on in, I believe they're in October this year. So before that time is when we want to probably get the something brought up between myself and the fire chief to do a workshop for the council members.
Okay, because I think one of the things we've talked about in the mayor's meeting is the one thing cities and government agencies don't do well is, one, have a public information officer, and two, making sure we have the correct information to get to the community. So we really need to have that conversation, because you know typically if something happens, we're all going to get a call, and we need to be informed so that we can provide the right information to folks in our community. So hopefully we can continue down that road for the training and getting on the same page.
Well, I think what would be a good idea is once the new equipment is approved and we can get it all installed, is that collectively we can train on that with the new equipment. So it would be beneficial for everybody to see that stuff.
Great. Thank you, Chief. Those are all my questions. And I know we have one community member still in the audience. Sharon, did you have any comments or?
I just think we are very, very fortunate to have both the fire and police that we have. For the size of our community, we get a lot for our buck.
Well said.
Thank you.
Well said. Thank you. Okay. I think this is just receive and file, correct? Yes. All right. You guys want to take a 5 minute? We're almost done. We're just power through? Okay. Very good. No, I don't need a moment. I think I'm hydrating. I'm hydrating as we speak. Yeah, untie these ties. Maybe that's what I need to do, right? Okay, we hit pulled on item number 10. And this is the upgrade of 2-inch and 4-inch water line project, CIP 267. This is award of the construction contract. So rather than Mr. Ray give a staff report, why don't I just, I know that Mayor Pro Tem and I think Councilmember Bright said you had a question, so why don't I get you have the floor, why don't you go ahead and ask your questions.
Oh, thank you. My question was, I thought that there was an issue with North 16th. There were some water, I thought there were some water lines up there that had some issues, and I don't see them, I don't see North 16th on this list of waterline segments that needed design. So that's my question.
Okay, Mr. Ray?
So the question is, why not? Why not North 16th?
That
yes.
Is, that is
thank
the question.
You. Thank that's you. That is my question, although I didn't ask it that way, but thank you.
We understood yeah. The question.
I'm getting right to the point. Previous contract city engineer his firm had developed a model of the city's water system. And when I say a model, it's essentially a computer simulation of the city's water system that identifies pressures and flows throughout the system and then as a result can highlight areas where there are issues with pressure and flow. Through that process and through that model, we were able to determine that from a pressure and flow standpoint, the highest priority was the elimination of these old steel 2-inch and 4-inch water mains that exist throughout the city. And I think there's an attachment 3 in your staff report that shows the ones that are identified in this project, there's actually a handful more of them that will still need to be upgraded. But these are the most critical component of your water system right now. That's not to say that North 16th isn't important, because, of course, we want to get that done so that we can then follow up with the street improvements. But from purely a water standpoint, and more specifically, as that relates to this grant, because this grant is a community development block grant, it's essentially for disadvantaged communities. And so this relates to water, you know, not being able to provide adequate water service or appropriate water pressure and flow. So these water lines that were selected, the 2-inch and 4-inch, are most appropriate in regard to that funding and are the highest priority as identified by the computer model. Long answer, short.
So are you saying she lives that? No. So it begs the question, because I have the same question about South 13th, so I'm glad you asked that, because does the census tracts, or were those areas that are considered lower income, what you just talked about, is there a dividing line in the community?
There are particular census tracts that are more disadvantaged, or that even qualify as a disadvantage, and there are other census tracts within the city that do not. We were able, I believe, by selecting certain waterline locations, to be able to include enough of the different census tracts that we qualified overall, and that was an important component of getting this grant.
Okay, I see. I did not know that. Okay, well, that's good to know.
Okay, I'm going to let everyone else. Jeff, you had a question, correct?
I did. So it's actually kind of somewhat piggybacks off of Councilmember Bright's question, in the fact that, so based upon our road K-14 program, so are we maximizing the grant funds with the locations of the need for those grant funds via the disadvantaged census tracts and so forth with these waterline improvements? Are we we're not Is any of this work in anticipation, or basically would have? I'm not asking my question.
I might be able to answer your question without you actually having to ask it.
Is that engineer speak?
That would be much appreciated.
So how did we select these, or maybe more importantly, how did we select the streets in the major K-14 program that we were going to recommend for rehabilitation first? Well, from the major K-14, council had some prioritization. We took that into account, but we also made a recommendation to council saying, we don't think you should do these particular streets just yet, because they have 2-inch and 4-inch water line segments in them that need to be completed. So it was really cart before the horse. The street program, we were aware of the water lines first, then the community approved the major K bond-funded street program. We made the recommendation, staff made the recommendation to council saying, please avoid these streets for now, because we want to get these water lines done, and then we can come back, and these streets will no longer be off the table for street rehabilitation. So,
which is very, if I recall, is exactly what's happening on Saratoga, which is why the street improvements stop at 8th Street, because the water line looks like it goes from 8th to 6th.
As an example.
Gotcha. And then my only other question at this juncture is there a deadline to use these funds? I know there was under the other CDBG discussion that we had at our last meeting, September 1st was the deadline for use of those funds. Do these funds have that same deadline?
They have a September 30th deadline, okay. And it is looking like we may want to consider a time extension. We'll have the opportunity for a time extension once we're well under in construction on this. And I think we're just looking at the number of working days that comes right up to that deadline, and if anything at all happens, a change order, an unanticipated condition, we could really be constrained. So staff is already anticipating, and we spoke with our CDBG planning consultant about the possibility of a time extension. It's likely we'll request whatever the minimum recommended time extension is, but it's more likely we'll go over. If we did go over, it'd be a couple days.
Okay. So.
Okay. Barbara, you or Miriam have any questions?
No, I don't.
Okay.
None.
Okay. So, Greg, maybe I'm going to try and ask this question a different way. Is there enough flexibility in the program to include North 16th and South 13th now that we know what the sequencing of the streets are? Are you saying those are not 2- and 4-inch water lines, or is it something different?
That is also correct. They're not 2- and 4-inch water lines. Flexibility, there would have been at one point in time, possibly. At this point in time, no. That's pretty much behind us now in terms of selection of waterline segments. These are the waterline segments that were proposed in our grant funding request.
I got you. Okay. Well, at least I see some that do match up. 3rd Street, Saratoga, as Jeff said. Okay. If there are no additional questions of staff, let me open this up to the public. Is there anyone that would like to address the item before the council? Seeing? Very good. So let me close and bring it back to the council. What's the pleasure of the council?
I have a comment.
Sure.
I'd like to say thank you for including the bid results that came in. I appreciate that.
Very good.
Okay.
And actually, before I make a motion, I just want to make sure that if I'm understanding this correctly, we basically have a base bid, and then the recommendation is to add alternatives up to the point where we effectively run out of grant funds, but you have enough contingency in there that if we do run into an issue, we can utilize the contingency, or if we don't have the contingency, we can do more water lines. Am I reading that in generally correct?
Yes, that's very accurate. So just to kind of follow up on that a little bit, we think, well, as it stands right now, given the estimates of the various components of the project, we believe we'll have a balance of about $90,000, which would be contingency on a, you know, roughly $1.5 million project. But in addition, there is this additional $44,000 of program funding, and we now know that money will in fact come to this project and be approved for this project. So we'll have, you know, $135,000 roughly available, and in the staff report, the recommendation is to pick up segments E and F, and we do that as a change order. We wouldn't do that tonight because the funding's not in place in front of us, and as you mentioned, we want to be certain we get past enough of the segments so we're comfortable that we can reduce the contingency funding. But once we reach that point where we're comfortable, we would change order in E and F in that order, and you know, pick up any other little components that we might be able to do and try to use up as much of the funding as possible.
Gotcha. And I'm going to apologize. I have one more question that got triggered.
No, I actually have a question myself, so gotcha. Go for it.
Okay. Have we already awarded construction management services for this, or will that be coming at it later, or is that included in here somewhere?
We did something unusual, and I'm not sure if it identifies that in the staff report, but with approval from HUD, essentially, who administers the Community Development Block Grant Program, we awarded design and construction as one contract.
Okay. So. Okay.
Okay, so really it's more a request that I have. It's more of a stylistic thing with respect to this resolution. When you talk about, it's the fifth whereas, where you start to talk about where the waterline projects are, I'm just thinking it probably for ease of reading and clarity, it would be easier if there were bullets. Because I read this and it almost gets to be a little alphabet soup to me, and I would say even under the where you get to the now therefore be it resolved, I'm just thinking that maybe there's a better way to just kind of bullet that so that it's easy when folks want to pull this, they know exactly what streets are being done. So I don't know if that's I don't know if I'm really asking or it's a suggestion for us to consider. Anyway. Cool. City manager?
Duly noted.
Very good.
Then I'll go ahead and move staff's recommendation with the formatting changes as discussed in the resolution.
I'll second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. There's no additional discussion. Roll call, please.
Yes.
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 Yes, motion carries. Okay, let's move into our council committee report. Councilmember Wright, do you have anything to report?
I had no council committee meetings, thank you.
Way to start us off. Excellent. Councilmember Nichols.
Yes. The last CAPSLO meeting I went to included a training session wherein state staff that does at the auditing of CDBG grants came and showed us what the board members what is involved in getting a grant, how they follow through on whether or not the grantee is using the funds as they are that as applied for. It was rather an interesting morning. CAPSLO got an A on everything. CAPSLO is also celebrating its 50th anniversary this year and has a bunch of little ceremonies that they're doing, renaming a Head Start facility in North County after one of our board members who has been there since the beginning of wow. Head Start in CAPSLO. And then the RAC meeting is Tuesday, and the South County Transit meeting is Wednesday.
Okay, very good. Let's see. Councilmember Shaw.
I have updates on a couple things that I guess I got into through HSOC, so I'll update you. The first one is the MASH event that we are hoping to host at the South County Regional Center on May 24th. There was a little bit of miscommunication because it's a county building and it's a county event. We thought we could go forward and plan the event, but it turns out there's an Rio Grande ordinance that applies that a special event permit was needed for the event. And upon looking at the South County Regional Center, there's some question as to whether that's the best place for the event. I've heard through the grapevine that there have been some other places suggested. So what has been proposed is that, and this was coming together as just kind of myself and another city council member from Rio Grande said we would take the lead for South County. But now that it's become more of a, we may have to search for places, we're going to have a formal meeting on May 13th in the afternoon, and we're going to bring representatives from Oceano to the table, representatives from PISMO, two of the council members from AG, and ourselves, and possibly even Napomo, so that we can really, you know, discuss as a South County where we should hold this event. And I think in the end, it will be better for everyone because more people will be aware and be involved and have buy-in to the event. So I was cringing when it came out in the paper that it was going to be on May 24th because I doubt it will be considering we're having this big meeting on May 13th. And if anyone would like to accompany me to the meeting, they're more than welcome. It's May 13th from 1 to 3 at the AG City Hall, second floor. The council members from AG suggested possibly sending two council members, but it may cause some Brown Act issues. I'm just not sure of that it would be useful. I'm fine with going and reporting to you guys unless somebody really wants to come. So that's that. And the next thing, I just went to a meeting to follow up on the warming center for next year. And there is a church in Rio Grande that is willing to step up and offer its facilities for the warming center for next year, just because Rio Grande did host the center on Grand Avenue. They've hosted it for the past couple years, but that's not the best area because it's such a small conference room. So that church is in the process of filing a permit with the city of Arroyo Grande. And as a first step, they surveyed 60 of the neighbors in the neighborhood about their feeling on there possibly being a warming center in the neighborhood. And of 60 people surveyed, only 6 submitted a negative written response. So in my mind, that's 90% positive. So we'll see. That I thought that was a great preliminary number, and I hope it means that people of South County are starting to understand that we need to get over the NIMBY and offer some services somewhere, or it just leads to trouble. So I'm going to work with them as much as they need to make sure we have a warming center in an appropriate place next year, and I will keep you posted. But Jana Nichols is going to take the lead in applying for the Grand Avenue Center just in case as a backup for next year. And I have a Visit Slow meeting later this week with City Manager Copsey. So we'll keep you updated on that. And I think that's it.
Okay, very good. And I believe, Mr. Lee, you're last. Correct?
And I have a couple of committees coming up later this week or the following week. So my only one to report on would be EVC, where there was the continuing traveling roadshow of the SLOCOG presentation on the self-help counties.
And speaking of SLOCOG, I have that meeting on Wednesday. So it is SLOCOG. It's a combination of SLOCOG and RTA. I will be arriving a little late because, as you heard earlier, there is a bike to school event in Grover Beach starting here. So I'll get there a little late, but RTA will be starting. With respect to SLOCOG, I know that Mr. DeCarlo and his team have gone to a majority of the cities and the county to get feedback on the allocation formula and the projects that we would like to have considered. And I know interim city manager will maybe have a little more he can add when we get to him on communications. So I believe there's going to be a report out on Wednesday. One thing I did find as I started reading that staff report the other day was we had suggested adding under the regional category, so we did not have to take it out of, if we go forward and if the voters decide that they want to approve this measure, there would be a pot for 50% for local and 50% for some regional projects. And I think one of the suggestions we had was to put in there extending the boardwalk from its current location to Pier Avenue, and I believe there was one other. So I think staff's initial recommendation on that is they think they're good projects, but given that they're recommending a 9-year sunset, they're not going to be supporting it at the meeting on Wednesday. So I will push a little harder and see what comes back. And I think the benefit to us is, like I said, if this does move forward, if it is approved, those are dollars that would come out of the regional pot rather than the local pot. And I think we've tried to be strategic. And I know that someone had said, I think it was Dan Rivera actually said that he's been to several of the city council meetings and he felt that Grover Beach was probably one of the few councils that was trying to be a little strategic in how we move forward with developing that list that the folks will get to respond to. So I'll report back to you on that. Five Cities Fire Authority. Recently participated. We are in the process of putting together a 5-year strategic plan. It's been about 6 years and trying to identify where there are resource challenges and then basically looking out 5 years, where does this organization want to go? So that's being developed. One other thing that will be coming to this council, I'm hoping maybe on May 16th, or we'll have to figure out a date, will be there's been some discussion about the joint powers agreement. I think I had reported to you all before that, hey, it's been about six years. There are some items that are administrative and probably easier than some of the bigger items. For example, if we got to a point where another member wanted to come into the organization, there's no language in the agreement that would allow that to occur. So the board said, well, let's identify those things that are the low-hanging fruit that are easy, that we could all reach agreement on, the member agencies could reach agreement on quicker, and then let's take the harder ones that are going to take a lot more discussion, for example, how the allocation of resources and who pays what. I think one of the proposals that's been tossed out there is right now, clearly there's been discussion about Oceano and what they contribute to the organization, and I don't want anyone to take that in a negative tone. It's just, you know, when this organization was first formed, the two cities actually were the first two into this agreement, and Oceano actually was added later, and so there was some benefits and some savings to them from an administrative standpoint. So now the discussion becomes, is there a way to look at those as fixed costs for the three agencies and equally share that? So that would have some budget implications for us as well as Oceano. So those are the tougher items to get a resolution on, and it probably will have to warrant a joint meeting with the two city councils and the Oceano Community Services District. So stay tuned. But I'm hoping that on pretty soon we'll have Chief Lieberman come in and we'll talk about the proposed JPA amendments and get the council's take on what you believe works and what you believe needs to be changed, and then we'll move forward on that. Okay. I did also have a special meeting on the 28th. There are some ongoing negotiations with the firefighters union, so that will more than likely have some implications to our budget, and I will keep you apprised when the time is appropriate or when there is some agreement on that. So just wanted to make sure you're aware of that. South San Francisco County Sanitation District. We have a new district administrator, Mr. Gerhard Huebner, has been on the job, I think, about 2 weeks. I think he's doing a fine job. He's really, it's amazing when you have someone that was there previously that was only allowed to work 10 to 12 hours. When you get someone in there full time, and he's got a long list of things. So I'm thrilled that he's there. I will say that the redundancy project's moving forward. Coastal development permit has been filed with the Coastal Commission. They have, in fact, responded back saying that the application is not complete. We hit it all the time with cities and counties, you know. So I'm not going to pick on Bruce. I see him in there. But basically, working through that. So there's a meeting on Wednesday. One thing we will be taking up again is billing and collection. I think I had reported to you all, there had been a lot of folks who said, hey, let's just put everybody on the tax rolls. And I think now that we've moved down this path, there are folks who are starting to have second thoughts on it. And I'm just going to be quite honest. Some of the reports that came to us were not as comprehensive as they should have been to talk about what are the pros and what are the cons, because one of the things that had recently come up is does taking all three member agencies to the tax rolls cause an issue with cash flow. So this is information that should have been reported to us 3 months ago, but we'll deal with that on Wednesday. So I've had some feedback from some folks in the community who either don't want to go down the road of putting folks who are living in Grover Beach that are obviously ratepayers on the tax rolls, meaning that instead of paying every 2 months, six times a year, they would pay two times a year. There's been some confusion out in the community, and so I want to make sure everyone understands that this is a billing and collection issue. Putting it on the tax rolls does not create a new tax. There have been people out there that are spreading misinformation, and I want to be extremely clear. And I know Sharon participates in those meetings, and I bet you she can go back and say, I was the one who was saying, I'm not really crazy about this idea. So we're going to revisit that item on Wednesday. Fun stuff. Fun. Anyway, the last thing is this. I know it's just the Pismo Beach Regional Groundwater Sustainability Project. I'd like to say it's the Five Cities Regional Groundwater Sustainability Project. We had one meeting. They're looking for a date to have a second meeting. So that's all I've got tonight for you all. Any questions?
Pedal fast on Wednesday.
Thank you.
It's going to take you a long time to get to San Luis.
Oh, yeah. God, I would love to. That would be perfect just to go, we're adjourned. Wouldn't that have been, that's a great ending. Thank you, Karen. All right. Do we have any council communications? I see Mr. Lee has a couple of flyers to my right. What do you got, sir?
So I'll start by saying after you're pedaling fast on Wednesday, you can come join us on Thursday at Finn's for a fiesta at Finn's celebrating Cinco de Mayo and a dinner for a cause. So in advance of the Tipicop, but dinner for a cause for the Five Cities Homeless Coalition. So the next flyer I have with me is, you've heard me talk about Miss Ella Beckstead on a number of occasions. So she's down in L.A. She's having another checkup on her. If you recall, she's the young lady who lives in town who was born with half a heart. And so the family is holding a fundraiser May 15th, a Sunday, down at Edwards Barn in the Pomo for that. It's Miss Ella's Country Jamboree. And so I'll be getting a table, so if anyone wanted to join me at that table, please let me know. And then just a big thank you to all those that supported me in the walk a mile. My feet do not like you anymore, but the organization for Rise Slow does appreciate all the donations and all of the participants that walked in was that Saturday?
That was Saturday. Ditto for me. My quads and my calf still are in pain. So I just kudos to the ladies. Actually, it was a very worthy event, and so I think I've collected all the pictures with me and my red pumps. Barbara, you have anything?
No, I don't.
Karen?
Nope, thank you.
Miriam?
Friday is the mother-son dance here in Grover Beach. I've heard, though, there's a wait list at this point, so I don't know if you haven't gotten your tickets. It's my first year, so I don't know. We'll report back. I don't see my son dancing, but we'll see. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. And Friday morning is the Special Olympics at Cuesta, so that's always a really great event. And we have the honor of being special greeters, so that's pretty cool. Last year, and it was pretty neat.
All right.
And I think, I don't know if we all got this email. I got an email from Corey Lintner from South 4th Street, just again about vacation rentals and how much trouble they've been causing his family. And I know that we have vacation rentals in our upcoming plans for next year, but I was wondering if we have a timeline on that yet. You know, if somebody was just bothered every weekend, like if that was my house, I just kind of want to know, like, how long do I have to put up with this? Do we have anything we can tell people about timelines?
City manager?
Not specifically, no. We have not looked at that. That's not on the current list. So I don't have a timeline yet. We can look at that, but nothing at this point. It's still a target and it's still a goal, and I would continue to invite people to definitely let us know what the issues are, and we are keeping some of, you know, all of the information that we get that we can compile, and the information has been passed on, such as that information, to community development director to keep together.
And one thing he mentioned in the email, which makes sense, is that people come in for the weekend and the owners will call the police. Corey and his family will call the police. But, you know, then the police come and these people are gone by the next weekend, but the police are again called to the same home. And I know citations usually would go with the person, but if a officer is called to the same address repeatedly, does that warrant any sort of action or anything? I just didn't know.
I'll answer that. It will probably depend on the type of ordinance that's drafted. On the type of actions that will fall within a vacation ordinance, a vacation rental. Typically, if an officer does repeatedly respond to residents, depending on what it is, there can be nuisance abatement type things. But that's usually more for drugs and alcohol and ongoing, you know, residents that live in there. But Martin may have something more on the ordinance type of aspect.
A city attorney?
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Council members. Irrespective of the vacation ordinance, vacation rental ordinance,
if the property is a location of an ongoing nuisance, as city manager identified, the property owner is one of the responsible parties, and the citations usually are issued to the person who is committing the wrong, as well as the property owner who is allowing that to go on. They ultimately have the responsibility. So even in absence of a vacational rental ordinance, depending on the type of conduct that this person is complaining about, it may be covered by simply either the noise ordinance or the nuisance ordinances, and it may be citable both to the wrongdoers and to the property owners.
Thank you for that, because it did seem like something to me that could already be covered by what we have, at least until that time that we could get something. So I'll let them know, and maybe they'll call in and have a discussion with the police or with the community development department or with you, and then they could pin that down. Thank you.
Okay. Jeff, you have one more?
Yeah, I apologize. I should have brought this up earlier, but I did get a couple emails over the weekend regarding our water rates, and the water conservation, the fees, our program for that. So I know we'd asked for an update in the near future on that, the water conservation program and the billings and so forth. So I was just wondering if you had a time for that as well.
I do not have a time for that, but we'll get to it.
Okay. So I do have a question. I don't know if this is for Mr. Ray, Ms. Patker. In driving to Vaughn's from my home, I noticed that there was substantial work being done at 16th Street Park that went beyond just installing handicap ramps. It looks like there were some trees that were removed and a new sidewalk being repaired. So would like to know where those the plans came from and how are those improvements being funded? Because I'm really concerned if we're talking about a sidewalk and we just had that street workshop and we told folks that K-14 monies could not be used for a sidewalk. So I'm
Is this on? There we go. Okay. So the work is part of the major K-14 project, but as you know, there are local funds, and I say local funds, it's all local funds, but there are street funds that have previously been budgeted outside of the major K-14 project for sidewalk work that have been incorporated along with the project. For example, North 13th, the sidewalk work along there. So 16th Street Park, in an effort to make improvements to the street in front of the park and to fix the curb and gutter, which was severely lifted by the cypress trees, we decided it would be appropriate to fix the curb and gutter, make it right, make the parking spaces all correct, and meet the ADA accessibility requirements on both sides. Well, while the project, literally about the same time the project was being awarded, one of the cypress trees came down, actually fell down and damaged more sidewalk and more of the street. And then in the actual process of excavation and looking at the work in the field, we determined that we could not adequately fix the curb gutter in that area and complete the pavement work without actually removing the trees. We went to an arborist. We had a tree report done. It was determined that the amount of root planting that would be necessary to restore those improvements outside of the sidewalk would kill the trees or make them unstable. And we, since one had already fallen down, we didn't want to move into that path either. So the project itself, Major K-14 funds, are paying for the asphalt, the parking area improvements, which are kind of part of the street there, the curb and gutter, which is typical for the project, but the sidewalk component and the removal of the trees is coming out of different funds, not the Major K-14 funds.
Okay. It would be nice to know these things. I'm not a big fan of surprises, because how many trees were taken out and what's the plan to replace the trees?
So it's a total, one fell on its own.
Okay.
There were six trees total. I believe we're taking out the other five. There's currently no plans to replace the trees, but we will be restoring the planting areas, you know, with appropriate, in this case now, which should have been done before, but appropriate root barriers and watering system for trees. And then, in what has been a new partnership with PG&E, believe it or not, PG&E has offered us some trees. We just took them up on their offer on 14th Street, I believe it is, right near Long Branch there. You'll see some brand new trees actually just went in. And then we're working with PG&E on an offer to actually provide us trees for the 16th Street Park. So that may be, we may end up having the trees as a result of that.
Okay. It would just be nice to know these things. Thank you. Okay. City Manager, any reports or comments?
I didn't have any, but since you had mentioned SLOCOG and the key project lists that they had been pushing for from the cities, at the last council meeting, council did identify a number of potential targets for the key project list to be included with the SLOCOG initiative. Staff presented, as best as we could, summarize of those key projects. We went back and forth between SLOCOG and us regarding what actually makes the board agenda for this week. Staff was very clear with SLOCOG that those were not finalized and not identified by council as an approved list. So we'll see how their staff meeting goes this week. But hopefully, if things stay on the agenda, we'll be able to present or discuss at the May 16th meeting, and council will be able to solidify what key projects they wish to be included with the SLOCOG initiative. And that's all I have to report.
Very good. Thank you. City Attorney, you have any report or comments?
Nothing tonight. Thank you, Mayor.
And while you have the floor, can you cover our closed session?
Certainly. It's the intent of the council to meet in closed session on one item, and that's public employment, the position being the city manager.
Very good. Thank you, sir. We are going to recess in a closed session.